Grow My Cleaning Company teaches owners of cleaning companies just like you how to grow your company, make more money, and finally take charge of your financial future and your life. This podcast is about automating and creating systems that give you time and money freedom so you can grow like crazy without losing control. Since this is totally free, if you're getting tons of value, want to support us and make sure that you get more of the good stuff, subscribe, rate, and review to this podcast today. Now, on to the show. Hey, everybody. Welcome. Welcome. So glad to see. Virtually see, I guess, be seen by you guys. Hopefully you can see me. I can't see you. What is going on? You may notice I'm not in my office. I was finishing a call, which my bride took over in my office. So I've been upgraded or downgraded to my wife's office. So I know if you're wondering, like, usually there's a good looking girl when he's got that background, and now it's a smelly dude. So my apologies for said smelly dude, but we're going to do our best to help you guys talk through how to bid jobs so you can make money even with employees. So so many times there's just so much going on. The big issue is we've all dealt with the, if I bid too high, I might lose a job. And if I bid too low, I might win a job that's garbage, right? Hey, Karen Coy, glad to have you in the house. Oh, she's our first official comment. Welcome, Karen. Oh, now everyone's jumping in. Second and third, D. And, oh my gosh, I'm getting so old. Alaria, but not Banfi? What a, hello. Good to see all of you guys. So hopefully you're here because you want to talk bidding and figure out how we can bid so you can make money, whether you have employees or you don't have employees, where you can be confident that it's an effective, profitable bid that's fair. So if anybody says, oh, Efren in the house, good to see you, my friend. But we want to make sure we give you confidence because there's nothing worse than losing a winner or winning a loser, right? We bid too high and immediately, or we bid and they jump and we're like, oh my gosh, is it not enough? Or we're not profitable? Or we bid and they get blown out. And they're like, we had someone that was, you know, half as much as you were. We want to make sure that you've got a system to bid so you're confident you know exactly what you're bidding. The problem is if you can't bid right, you're not going to get the right customers and it's not going to be at the right price. And either you're not going to grow because you'll be stuck, or you're going to grow without making any money, right? Because we get a bunch of bids that aren't profitable and then we're not going to be able to scale. We're not going to be able to hire employees. We're not going to be able to pay bills. We're not going to be able to invest in our company for client attraction, all the good stuff that we need to serve your company, be amazing. That all comes from margin. And if there is no margin, we can't serve the company. We can't keep our word. We can't market. We can't grow. We can't do anything. And all that comes down to making sure that we bid properly so we can make money, but still get the bids. Ed Calderon says, hey, Alan Kilvo, I can never say it, from Winchester, Virginia. Denise Christopher from New Jersey, good to have you. We are just, everyone's in the house. Welcome, welcome, welcome. We're jumping into bidding. We're talking about the problem with if you bid too high, you might lose a job. If you bid too low, you might win a crap job, which can be worse than losing a good job, right? All right, so the big thing that we need to start with is the foundational belief. D video, D Perez says, I can't see the live video. I think you guys should be able to see me. Can you guys not see me? Give me some love in the room and tell me if you all can see me, if it's just D or if I'm a mess, because I want to make sure that you guys, I guess, can see me. Anyone? Give me some love. Anyone out there? Everyone's saying hi, but they won't tell me if they can see me or not. Gonna get one person to say, yes, I can see you. You look great. You know, that way I can feel good about life. Or no, we can't see you. So we know if it's just D or if it's me. Why is everybody so shy? I think sometimes there's a, I get a thumbs up. Jason Johnson in the house says, what's up? All right, well, I'm going to go forward. Assuming you guys can see me, feel free if you can't see me to let me know. Oh, Natalie says, apparently she's not here because I'm in her office, but she's, oh, there we go. All right, everyone can see me. Natalie says to D to click the play button. All right, so the first thing that we've got to get over, and thank you, Kim and Jason, for giving us the love that you can see us, lifesavers. So the first and foremost issues, we've got to get over that crazy, wrong-headed belief of if I don't bid low, I won't be able to get good jobs, right? Or, hey, Jenny from Zen Clean Solutions, love it. And Reagan in the house, good to have you, says we're all good. Glad to have you guys. Thanks for the love, everybody. Agape Cleaning says, yeah, all right, now, we've got such a long delay. It's frustrating because I ask a question and then nothing for 60 seconds. I'm like, why won't you talk to me? And then I move on to another topic, and then I get 41 answers to the first question. So we'll get there, Facebook Live. One of these days, we'll all be kind of real time. So first and foremost, we've got to get off the crazy belief, the wrongheaded belief of, thank you, Cindy, of you have to bid low to get jobs. The reality is one of two things. One, well, first of all, you want to spend your time educating people and getting in front of the right people that have real pain and are committed to solve it, as opposed to convincing the wrong people to pay more. Okay. So the right customers, the ones that have pain and are willing and able to solve that pain with your services, those are the right customers. The vast majority of the people you work with, especially if you're attracting and not chasing, are going to be the right customer. So the key is, instead of chasing the wrong people that are only interested in price, they don't know what they want, they don't have a lot of pain, and they don't value what you do, instead of trying to shake them down and choke them into submission and make them believe and pay more, which is very frustrating and ineffective, we want to find the right people that really want their pain solved. And again, when I have a pain, I want it solved, and certainly I don't want to get screwed, I don't want to waste money, but I do want it solved right. So, you know, if I could get an airline ticket to go, you know, where I've got my Millionaire Alliance meeting, Jason, Kim, I'm going to see you guys, to Toronto. If, you know, I can get a plane ticket for $400 or $800, I'm going to pick 400 until they tell me, well, that's in the cargo hold and, you know, you can't have any luggage and you've got to serve cocktails to the other guests. Well, then I'll probably pay the 800, right? Because I've got real pain and I've got the ability to pay. So the trick is not to try and convince the wrong customers to pay the right amount. It's to educate the right customers on how you solve their pain in a way that really truly solves it. And if you're doing a good job at that, the pain really, or not the pain, the price really doesn't come into play. So we got to get out of that. I've got to be the lowest bidder to get the good jobs. The more sophisticated buyers, especially on the commercial side at the higher end, will almost never take a low job. If they've got a bid for 3,000, one for 42, one for 46, and one for 43, they're not taking a $3,000 job per month. I guarantee you, because they're going to go, what's wrong with this guy, right? The three in the middle. All right. The next thing is, this is killing me. So many people believe I can't afford to pay for mileage or drive time. That's crazy talk. Who was I yelling at about this? I forget. Somebody. Maybe it was on my elite call. But the reality is, taking advantage of your employees costs you money. It doesn't make you money. And there's two issues. One is the legality, right? And it depends on what state or country or province you're listening from, what the laws of that state are. But I'm guessing some of them, it is illegal to make people go to work, i.e. driving, and then not pay them, right? Jenny says, I need your services. Please guide me how to get a consult with you. Go to growmycleaningcompany.com. We've got an amazing webinar. That's where I'd start. Or you can reach out to support@growmycleaningcompany.com. Tell them you're on the live deal, and she'll see if she can get you sorted out. All right. Thanks, Jenny. Appreciate you. All right. So we've got to move away from the, I don't want to pay mileage and drive time. A, it may be illegal depending on where you are. B, it's always immoral, right? Like, people are like, well, they're not cleaning, I pay them to clean. Well, they're doing what you ask them to do, right? If they decide they want to drive, well, then you don't have to pay them. But if you're like, hey, stop living your life and start driving, do what I want you to do and not what you want to do, just because you're not bidding properly or charging properly doesn't mean we get to screw our employees, right? So we want to make sure that we are paying for drive time, because that is time that you think about if you were an employee, right? And you had an employer, would you really want to serve an employer that's like, hey, you got to get there and do this and do all that. I only pay you here, but not there. So we always want to pay drive time. The exception would be if you're paying a flat rate and there's extra money in that flat rate for drive time, right? So if it's like, let's just, to make the math easy, say it's a 10, you're in an area that pays $10 an hour, right? And it's a 4-hour job and you pay $50 flat rate, right? There's an extra $10 for drive time. That's fine. But if you're paying hourly, you're going to want to pay drive time. And I can almost hear all of you guys screaming at me out there, Mike, I can't afford drive time, blah, 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 blah. All right. The reality is, your customers understand that your employees are not born, they don't live at their house or their business, right? They understand that you've got to marshal resources, you've got to get supplies and human beings moved, and that costs money. And the real customers that really want their pain solved and they want a real legitimate cleaning company or janitorial service, they're going to understand that and expect to pay for it. So we charge our customers. It's a service just like anything else. Part of the service is getting the supplies and the people from where they're at to your customer's place, right? And they expect to pay for that. And then also, your customers know that you and your, yeah, so they know and they want the, and trust me, the good customers aren't going to want to screw your employees. Like, oh, I cannot pay, I can save a buck and not pay some poor $12 an hour labor to drive. If they're into that, they're not the employee that I want. All right. Jason, or Reagan says she just bid on a campground today. Josh says, I won on a bid today. And she wants a, they want a cheap price. We're absolutely going to talk about that today. All right. Another thing that we've got to get over that's going to kill you and eat your lunch is it's totally okay to bid based on how you feel, whatever you think, or how badly they need the job, how badly you need the job, or how much money you have. It's so funny. One of the first things we do when I take clients into our program is we have them do the customer profitability spreadsheet. We want to make sure, are they making any money, right? Does it make sense to start growing and getting new customers that aren't profitable until we fix the customers we got, right? So we always start there. And it's crazy to see. You would think it's consistent, right? We bid them all the same way, but it's wildly inconsistent with this guy being, hey, Benita, nice to have you. Wildly inconsistent with some customers making no money, some people making a ton. It's all over the board. So the first thing that we want to do is make sure we have a system for bidding. And that system is consistent. It's based on the profit that we want to make. And it doesn't have anything to do with, well, these guys have money or say they have money or this guy's going to complain or I desperately need a job or I don't really need a job. We want to bid based on system, not based on gut feeling or emotion, because that will eat your lunch. So we want to make sure, and that's also scalable, right? If you've got a, every time you bid, you're like, what do I feel like charging today? That is frustrating. It's inconsistent. You're going to lose bids. And then you're back in what we talked about earlier, which is, well, I lost the bid. Was it because it was too big? Maybe if I went, or I got the bid. Dang it, I should have charged more. Once you have a system that you know is profitable and scalable for your company and going to help you hit your goals, if you get the bid, you know that you're profitable. And if you lose the bid, you're like, I don't care. I didn't want it for less money than that. So we start focusing on really serving the customer and helping to educate them as opposed to trying to fool with prices, right? Well, you know, you won't buy my service at $500 a month. What about $450? What about that's not the business we want to be in. We really want to get crystal clear on what their pain is, make sure that we can solve it, and then be all in on solving their pain and not focus on the money. Okay, so that's a really, really big one. So we got to have a bidding system that you follow that's scalable. You got to follow it every time. And so you can focus 100% on understanding how to solve the client's pain. Ideally, you want to do it in their budget, but when it's not within their budget, you don't move the way that you price, you move the services that you offer, right? So if they can't afford what they want, then you're going to try and maybe give them one less cleaning or less, you know, so you adjust the services that you can offer, not the price, but we always want to make sure we get a flat margin. All right, that said, Jenny says, I always have an issue, people always trying to negotiate fees. I got to tell you, Jenny, and I'm so glad that you brought that up. Believe it or not, we bring that onto ourselves. I got to tell you, I am not the cheapest one out there. I'm fairly expensive. If you want my help, it ain't cheap. And I've never had anyone say, that's not true. Maybe 1 in 100, less than 1 in 100. It's been over a year since if anyone said, that's too expensive, or that's not fair, you're charging me too much. Because I'm focused 1000%, and trust me, I charge a lot more than what you guys are probably charging monthly for your stuff. And it's, yeah, anyway, and they're spending someone else's money. My people are spending their own money. So I promise you, because I focus 1000% on their pain, that's all they care about is getting their pain solved, and the money goes out the window. So really important that we are in a place, if you're not confident, right? If you call me for coaching and I'm like, well, I think I'm really good and I don't know, and I'd like to get this much, but that sounds expensive. Let me know. That kind of way I'm approaching it is going to invite negotiation. But when I'm firm and powerful in who I am and what I offer, and I go, this is what it costs. If you really want to get this taken care of, let's get to work. Some will, some won't, but no one negotiates on price, right? So a lot of times when people are trying to negotiate price, you're inviting that unintentionally, right? Obviously, that's not what we want. Jenny says the power company won't negotiate fees with you. I've never tried, Jenny, but I think you're right. I don't think that I don't think they will. Lisa says, you talk about commercial or residential. We help about 50-50, and these concepts are exactly the same for residential and commercial. So to answer your question, Lisa, I'm talking about both. All right. So the next thing that we've got to get overhead. So many people think it's not a real expense and I can bid lower and still make money, right? We teach to bid about 50% cost of goods sold. So you've got 30% for overhead and 20% for profit. The problem is people go, oh, I can be thin and I can do this. Or they'll have a job where their cost of goods sold is like 80% and their overhead's 30%. So they're losing 10% on that job. But they start going, well, but it's not specific overhead. And if I fire them, they're blah, blah, blah. And we tell ourselves all sorts of stories that like overhead's not real money. Like, well, I don't need that much overhead, but it is real money, right? We do have client attraction expenses. We hopefully do pay uniforms. We do pay for mileage. We do have insurance. We may have an office. We may have cell phones. We may have professional development. There might be client attraction systems. There's all this stuff that costs money. And if we don't charge for people, we can't do it. So really, you got to drill into your head that overhead is a real expense. We all have it. And if we don't, you can't serve your customers, right? Or you don't have a business. No overhead equals you with a rag. That's not a business. That's a job, right? So if you just want a cleaning job, charge what you want. There is no overhead. But if you want to have a business that scales, there's always expenses to be dealt with. And you want to make sure that we're charging our customers for that. Because again, the wrong customers don't care if you have insurance. They don't care if you're able to live indoors because you're charging enough. They don't care about anything. They just want the cheapest price. That's the wrong customer. The right customer does want things like insurance and uniforms and client attraction and systems and processes and all the money and time that you put into it. And they understand that you're going to make a fair profit. So again, as opposed to trying to price our offerings crazy for the cheap people that are the wrong customer, we want to make sure that we are just spending all of our time getting in front of the right customer. So, all right. And on that same overhead trade, a lot of people, Lisa says, what is the system? Is it changeable to fit situation? No, that's exactly what I'm saying. We don't change our system. We're always, for me, I coach to a 20% net profit. And obviously for my clients, we have a whole way to do that, but you want a 20% net profit at least. I don't change it for the situation at all. Maybe if there's like a $10,000 a month job or something like that hard, it's gotta be at least a six figure job. But even then I found the bigger the job, the more overhead they require. And it's, And Jenny says, perfect. Are the fees better based on square footage of the home or flat fees? Always flat fees. We're always doing a flat fee to solve the problem. So we want to know what our cost is and modify it based on our overhead and profit. Square footage is like a kind of a cheaty, quickie, easy way out. And it's a great way to lose money or make a mistake. So I like really understanding the cost. And again, I don't want to get too much into that. The big thing I want to get is overhead is a real expense. And you don't want to bid based on your current overhead that's not a fixed amount. So a lot of people do that, and when they want to grow or actually add client attraction, there's no money, okay? The other thing is, while we're talking about this, another thing of overhead that so many people miss, the two most overlooked expenses that you guys want to make sure that you're billing for and you have enough money for is client attraction and professional development. These are the two places you want to make sure that you're budgeting for that everybody forgets. So client attraction is marketing, right? The average small business spends 1% on marketing. You should be spending 5 or 10%. Professional development, right? The stuff that you guys pay me for is huge. And not just for you, but for your employees as well. And my least favorite thing is people go, well, what if I invest in my employees and they leave? And the question I ask them is, what if you don't invest in your employees and they stay, right? It is so important. There's probably no better investment that you can make than in yourself and in your employees. That's always the best investment, and people are always have a zero budget for that. All right. Another thing is, oh, this is the worst. This will absolutely eat your lunch. When you have this crazy belief that good customers will appreciate me if I cut the price, they do not. They secretly hate you. They want you to cut the price more. They never think they got a good deal. When I had my car dealership, we periodically would do different prices, which I hated. I didn't like that business. And the people that paid the most had the best experience. They loved us more. They loved their car more. Say they paid an extra $1,500 again, it's not like we're getting $10,000 or whatever. They would get $5,000 worth of value out of that because they loved their car. They loved the experience. They loved us. When they came in and we made a fair profit and they needed something that we didn't owe them, we could absolutely be, hey, we can take care of you. The people that negotiated, always ground and tried to screw everybody out of everything. They were never happy. Even if we gave it away for what we paid for it or less, they got a phenomenal deal. They never thought they got a good deal, no matter how good of a real deal they got. They didn't like the car as much. They were just miserable people. So I got to tell you, I know it seems counterintuitive, but your customers are not happier. And typically they don't appreciate when you cut the price. They're like bullies, right? If you bully somebody, or somebody's bullying you and you keep saying, I'm sorry, and they take your lunch money, then they're going to want your shoes and they're going to keep bullying you, right? The only way you win is you smack them in the face and the bully goes, oh, I guess we can't tolerate that, right? Customers are like bullies. If you cut your price, they're not going to be like, oh, thank you so much for your lunch money. They're going to want tomorrow's lunch money. They just want more and more. But when you stand your ground and go, listen, this is what it costs. You want this fixed or not? They respect you. So believe it or not, good customers don't appreciate you lowering the price. They resent you for it. And even bad customers don't appreciate it. Jacques says, I wish there was a calculator template. Reach out to support or grow my cleaning company. We actually have a software or beta testing that can help you with that. What about price increase? Great question, Jenny. I love coaching folks. And if we're going to work together, we'll work for all this stuff. But that's a different topic for a different day. Yeah, if you've had them for 3 years and want to raise a fee, raise the fee. It was certainly we can walk you through that in the program, but I'm all in for raising prices. All right, let's hit one more thing, then we'll get out of here. Customers, oh, this is another crazy, talking about raising prices, Jenny. So many people are like, oh, customers will think I'm taking advantage of them. I've had them for 3 years and Mrs. Whatever, blah, blah, blah. Tina says, how do you find out how to get you to coach us? Go to growmycleaningcompany.com. There is a webinar masterclass I just recorded. It's awesome. I would start there. You can also email support at growmycleaningcompany.com and just say that you were on one of the lives and I told you to personally email and they'll get you all sorted out. All right. So that belief that customers are going to think you're taking advantage of them, again, nutballs. The truth is we coach to a 20% net profit, right? If you... with a 30% margin. Well, that 30% margin, 30% for overhead. That overhead is all the cool things for surprise and delight and taking care of them and having better insurance and having nice cars and good equipment and all the training you need. Everything you need to create a spectacular experience for them comes from overhead. And then the profit is what you have the motivation to do. If you're not going to make any money, how motivated are you to serve that customer? And I know we all want to do the right thing and we all want to serve customers, but I'm a human being. If I had we never do this, but if I had someone in my program that I allowed somehow in for free or for less, which we don't do, we never discount. But if I did, it'd be really hard for me not to look at that person as a little different and want to love and take better care of the people that paid full price, right? You and I are humans like that as well. So if people don't think a 20% net profit is worth your headache and your investment, they're crazy. We don't want them, right? Like, I mean, just think about it. Say you're charging $1,000 a month. Or let's just go for a residential, $250 a month, you're there, or $300 a month, that you and one other person or two people of your employees are there twice a week for 4 hours. All that for a $50 profit for you to hire the people, buy the supplies, have the insurance, go out and do the sales call, make sure that if anything goes wrong, you take care of them, bill them, collect the money. Like, there's so many moving parts, and you want to make $50 lousy and they think that's too much? You're like, well, how much should I make? Zero? 30? Like, what? So the crazy thing is the people typically that want the price discounts are unreasonable anyway. We had that all the time in the car dealership. I owned it for 18 and we're trying to sell it for 20, right? And they're like, I'll give you $13,000. I'm like, how much profit do you think we have anyway, right? So typically if you're like, you know, it's a $1,500 job on the commercial side, ideally your cost is $750, they're like, we want you to do it for $900. It's a they're not even close, right? It's just a random, they don't know what they're doing. So we got to get rid of that belief that customers are going to think we're going to take advantage of them. 20% profit is more than fair. If a customer doesn't think that's fair, doesn't want to help you with it, they're not the right customer. And the problem is once you accept them, they don't get better. They don't magically like figure stuff out. They just, they're bullies, right? They're going to continue bullying you and not taking good care of you during that process. Jen says, how to bid odd jobs. What's the recommended minimum fee? Well, first of all, Jenny, I would coach you only to do recurring work. That's one of the beautiful things of what we do is you get to sell a job once and keep getting paid indefinitely. Take advantage of that. I would not do any odd jobs. If I was going to start a cleaning company today, I would accept only on the residential side, at least every other week. I wouldn't even take monthlies. On the commercial side, I might start doing two or three times a week, but I'd really work towards five day a week exclusively or 3 to 5 days a week. So I wouldn't even take odd jobs to answer that. All right. So the good news is once you bid and bill, we haven't talked about billing, but it's so important that you bill properly because if you are not cash positive, you will go out of business. Businesses do not go out of business because of lack of profit. They go out for lack of cash. And we have lack of cash because we're not bidding and collecting properly. Jacques says, you're right. Thank you, Jacques. I agree with me. She was feeling about not getting a job today, but I don't want to work with cheapskates. Preach it. That is absolutely right. Huge digital high five to you, Jacques. That's exactly right. You count labor expense in your 30% overhead, says Susan. No, that's your 50% cost of goods sold. So we want 50% cost of goods sold, 30% overhead, 20% profit. Great question, Susan. All right. So the good news is once you bid and bill properly and you get this down, you set yourself up to scale, right? Because even if you are willing to work for free or for cheap and you try and chintz on overhead, how are you going to scale? How are you going to grow? You can't hire employees. You can't train the employees. You can't do customer attraction. You don't have insurance. No, all the good things that you need to scale, you won't have. So the good news is once you do bid and bill properly, you have all the money in the world to take exceptional care of your customers while having all the resources you need for yourself, for, again, because if you're broke and living outdoors and worried about paying rent, you cannot be a good owner. You can't really provide great services, okay? So for everybody out there, we've had two or three people wanting help, and I really appreciate you guys. And I love helping. That's what we do all day, every day. You can go to growmycleaningcompany.com. The first step is to go through the complimentary online masterclass that I give. It's really good. It talks a lot more about this stuff. When we go over the numbers where you can see the slides, it's a lot more in depth. So start there, growmycleaningcompany.com. And at the end of that, there's an opportunity for a complimentary consult with me, but always start there. And of course, you can reach out to support at growmycleaningcompany.com. You guys, gals, are amazing. Love hanging out with you guys. Thanks for the interaction. Thanks for the thumbs up and all the hearts. You guys are the best. You make me feel so loved. Can't wait to talk to you soon. Jenny says she's followed me. Natalie put up the website. Go check that out. I'm going to go look at my email. I'm going to hopefully see a bunch of people sign up for that masterclass because I can't wait to see you there. Have a great week, guys. Talk soon. You all are amazing. And we'll do this again shortly. See ya. I always say see ya, and then I don't know how to end the thing, and I feel like a jerk. Oh, finish. All right. Now I'm saying it. See ya, guys. Thanks for tuning in to today's show. If you're fired up, ready to grow, and want to see if you have what it takes to work with us at Grow My Cleaning Company, here's what I want you to do right now. Go to growmycleaningcompany.com/talk. That's growmycleaningcompany.com/talk to book an appointment to speak with me personally. I'm going to jump on the phone with you to get you crystal clear on where you are now, where you want to be, and how to get you there. Don't walk around in the dark any longer. If you are serious about growing your cleaning company, it's time to finally get the systems in place that you need to grow. We've helped hundreds of owners of cleaning companies not only grow their business and their personal freedom, but give back to their community as well. If that's what you're looking for, head over to growmycleaningcompany.com/talk and book a time to talk with me personally. I can't wait to get to know you and your business.